This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Eric Halterman. We are with RotoWire.com. Go check us out over at RotoWire, promo code VSiN, and get 15% off any RotoWire product. Happy 4th of July, everybody. It is a big, big baseball day for Prop Points. We're going to be talking about today's slate, some of the big news that happened last night. We will briefly mention in passing the hot dog eating contest. I do not care about the hot dog eating contest. We won't go deep into that. Colby Conway is going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line later on to talk about his MLB bets for the day. And then we're going to finish with Eric Halterman's best bets. Eric, fun hosting the show with you. Happy 4th. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Looking forward to a baseball-heavy show, as the founders intended. I'm sure George Washington would have wanted us to talk nothing but baseball today. Celebrate America, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I'm glad that it falls on a Friday, because that means every team is going to play. Nothing makes me angrier than Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, when teams aren't playing on those days. They need to be playing on those days. It should be a law.
Yeah, especially over the summer when baseball is the main sport among the big four that gets all the attention. Baseball really ought to capitalize with all-day events on all these summer holidays, so I'm glad we get one today. Games throughout the day, games already finished, right?
Yep. That's the new tradition, I guess, for like the last 10 years now, is that the Nationals host a game that starts at 11 o'clock Eastern time. I'm not a fan of that, being a West Coast denizen, but... That and Patriots Day for the Red Sox are the two that I dislike the most. If trying to set lineups, things like that, trying to scramble, it makes it very difficult. But you know what? So it is nice to have something on, except I'm always out at my neighborhood's parade, so I always end up missing that just a little bit. But Red Sox beat the Nationals 11-2. Lucas Giolito looked good again. Trevor Story 4-for-5. Let's start on the Trevor Story side of things here, Eric. He's now has 13 homers, 14 stolen bases. He was awful, like capital A awful early on this season. Seems like he's kind of breaking out of that now.
Yeah, and if he can just get a run of good health, there's been a few years where he has not played very much. I say a few years, it was 94 games in 2022, then 43, then 26. Those are his 3 years as a member of the Red Sox. This has finally been his first year where he stayed healthy, and it wasn't great early. But maybe we could still see a pretty decent player here when you factor in the fact that he plays shortstop and the offensive bar is a little bit lower. Really not walking much, so he's on base just 286 this year. Hurts his overall value, but for things like fantasy baseball, you'll certainly take the 12 homers and 13 steals, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. You know, it's always like, could he ever hit outside of Coors? You know, the answer was kind of no for a really long time, but it seems like maybe he, you know, and it's not like Fenway's a bad place to hit. That's the funny thing. But injuries have been such a big story in his life. Another player that injuries have been such a big story is Lucas Giolito. When he first came off the IL, Eric, he was awful first couple of starts. He goes 7 2/3 today, one run allowed, 7 strikeouts. He's down to a 3.66 ERA. He's rolling right now.
Yeah, and I think I would more or less trust him going forward. I think we see this pretty often with pitchers coming back from major surgeries. The start of their return is not that great. Think about Sandy Alcantara this year. Think about Eury Pérez just this past month. Not at all surprising when you see a guy have a month or two of pretty poor starts just coming back from surgery. But once they get back to their old self and they show that old self for a handful of starts, don't think there's really any reason to think too much about those early season struggles. I think it fits the narrative so clearly. He wasn't quite right. He was still remembering how to pitch, but he's remembered now. And so I don't know if we're going to get peak Lucas Giolito going forward. That was a guy who struck out a third of the batter he faced in his best seasons. I don't think we're getting that guy back, but I think we could get a pretty good, pretty reliable, pretty trustworthy Lucas Giolito the rest of the way.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a roller coaster career. When he first broke in with the Nats, he was awful for a while there, then got better, got the trade to the White Sox when the White Sox were actually a team trying to go for things. You know, it's kind of wild to see his evolution. Another game in progress right now, Reds over the Phillies. Grudge match between me and Eric. 6-3 Reds, middle of the third inning. Jesus Luzardo couldn't get out of the third inning. And, you know, Luzardo, he's up to a 4.44 ERA now after today's outing. He was so brilliant early on. He's had some other good outings recently, but this was a really a dog of an outing.
Yeah, and that's interesting because pretty much all of his runs, it felt like, came in that two-start stretch in late May and early June, where it seemed pretty clearly like he was tipping pitches. There were clips of runners relaying something from second base, and there was the fact that Lizardo changed his glove and visibly changed some of his setup with runners on after yep. that. Over his last four starts, he'd looked quite good again. It looked like maybe that was just a pitch-tipping blip and that we were going to see the same guy who had an ERA in the twos before those two bad outings. Now I'm not so sure, because now if you look over his last five starts since those two blowups, there's three good ones and now two pretty poor ones in that stretch. So maybe we can't trust Jesus Lizardo that much. Maybe he's just going to be a guy who is really inconsistent week to week. He's capable of some gems. We've certainly seen them this year, but looks like he's capable of some blowups as well.
Yeah, indeed. That game was Philly minus 152-2 with a total of 8. We've already hit the over on that one there. So Andrew Abbott not pitching all that great for the Reds actually as well. Nick Cassianos has homered in this one. Underrated tweet of the day from our friend at Baseball HQ, Ryan Bloomfield, said, "Stay safe, everyone." After a Nick Cassianos tweet, there's like a home run bot that tweets out home runs on top of the Cassianos home, because of all the things that have happened whenever Cassianos homering over tragedies or controversies or things like that. So I thought that was a pretty funny tweet. Eric, are you a hot dog fan? Are you a hot dog eating contest fan?
You know, I like hot dogs. I like gluttony as much as any patriotic American, but I tend to prefer engaging in it myself rather than watching other people shove their faces with food. I do enjoy the fact that somehow, as a country, we've gotten to a place where the hot dog contest is one of the most watched events on the 4th of July. I enjoy that that is a thing that exists in the world, but I can't say I'm much of an other people eating hot dogs connoisseur myself.
Yeah, I'll try not to yuck other people's yum. I hate it. I like hot dogs. I just hate watching gluttony like that. And I don't think competitive eating is a sport, but that's just me. Enjoy it, everyone. Joey Chestnut won on the men's side. Mickey Studio won on the women's side. Both unders hit on those. So there you go. That's what happened in the hot dog eating contest. Enjoy. Hopefully your bets won there. Let's talk about some of the other top headlines, Eric. First, Clark Schmidt exited last night's game with the Yankees against the Blue Jays. Blue Jays swept the Yankees. Now one game up on both the Yankees and the Rays.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about division races in the next segment. And I think both the injury and that sweep are pretty significant here. The Blue Jays have moved into the lead in the AL East. I'm not sure that I would pick them straight up to win the division going forward, but we are going to take a look after the break at the odds in the AL East. And, you know, if you can get the Blue Jays at plus money while they're currently in the lead, the fact that this Yankees team is just looks pretty fragile. I think that's been the case with the Yankees the last several years when they're such a star-centered team. You look at all the projections, Yankees are great. And, you know, they are really, when they have enough of them healthy, they've got a 10-win player at the center of it all, or even more than that in Aaron Judge. But right. It's a team with some older injury-prone players, and now a lot of injuries at once to the rotation. Of course, Gerrit Cole being gone all year from the start of the season. Luis Gil, he's still going to be out for another little while, it seems. And now Clark Schmidt, this doesn't look like necessarily a short-term injury for him. This is looking like a team that might need to add rotation help at the deadline to really achieve their ambitions this postseason.
Yeah, Schmidt already on the IL. So we'll wait and find out more about that forearm injury, which often is a precursor to elbow issues. And we've had Schmidt have other arm issues in the past. We have a game starting up here in about 10 minutes. Cubs and Cards, 2:20 Eastern time. Miles Michaelis, righty, versus Colin Ray, also a righty on this one here. Cubs minus 138 favorite. Over under in this one's 9.5. Eric, the Cardinals, they're slumping right now. They got swept by the Pirates, and they didn't even score a run in this game. I mean, in that series.
Yeah, not the team that you'd expect that to happen against necessarily. This Cardinals team, I guess we could say they've been playing over their heads for much of the year. I don't think people would have pegged them as a wild card favorite heading into the year. It's a competitive roster, but I'm not surprised that they're falling back a bit. And I guess I'm not surprised that the offense is part of the problem. Just not quite enough big bats on this team, especially because the last few days they had been without Wilson Contreras, who was hit on the hand by a Paul Skeens fastball. He's back in the lineup today. They were also without Nolan Arenado, who was dealing with a sprained finger. He's back as well. So you get those guys back, suddenly the lineup does look longer. This is a team that I think is going to stick in it, but I could really see them going either way. And if they have a particularly poor month of July, this could be one of those teams that can sell some actual pieces at the deadline. I think we're talking about a lot of teams that need to add. There's not a lot of teams that are obvious sellers who have much to sell, because if they had a lot to sell, they probably wouldn't be obvious sellers in a world with expanded playoffs where 12 teams make it in. The Cardinals could be one of those, depending on how their next couple weeks goes.
Yeah, we're going to get that one's going to come down to the wire as far as that goes. But, you know, I think that we're going to see them, you know, take that all the way in. I don't, at 47 and 41, it's going to take a real slump for them to be a seller, I think. Did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com and enter promo code VSiN at checkout and get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Going to be talking division races when we come back. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Eric Halterman, and we are going to be talking a little bit about divisional races. 4th of July isn't quite the halfway point, Eric, but it's pretty close. It's usually a pretty decent proxy for it there. So good time to take a 30,000 feet view and take a look at these divisions. We mentioned this in the first segment. The Blue Jays just took a one-game lead with a four-game sweep over the Yankees. They still remain underdogs. It's Yankees minus 150, Jays plus 300, Rays plus 425, and Red Sox plus 2,800. We're throwing in there a little gratuitously, but hey, they won today. Is this fair that the Yankees are a favorite? How would you do it? Is there a bettable item here?
Yeah, I'm looking at what, say, the projections over at FanGraphs have it, and they do have the Yankees as the favorite, but not as the favorite compared to the field. They only have the Yankees as a 46% chance, and that feels about right to me. I think if I were betting this one, I would rather, for example, throw half a unit on the Jays and half a unit on the Rays at the same time, rather than throwing one unit at the Yankees. And then if either the Jays or the Rays do win, you're in pretty good shape there. I think, as we mentioned in the first section, Yankees are a team that very talented at the top, but also pretty fragile, especially with all these injuries hitting the rotation. They can't really afford another one there. I mean, and Max Fried, he's had plenty of injury scares last couple years. Carlos Rodon, hardly a paragon of health himself. After that, it's already down to Will Warren and Marcus Stroman among their healthy starters. So there's a real downside here where suddenly the Yankees are needing to outslug their opponents every game. The Blue Jays, I don't know if I totally trust them all that much. It's a pretty decent roster, but it looks more like a wild card roster to me. And you'd probably say the same thing about the Rays, but the Rays, they have this rigidity, or the, in what would you call it? Flexibility or something is probably the best way to describe it. They can handle blows to their roster because it's a flat roster in terms of talent. They can call up the next guy who's just not that much worse than the guy they lost. They can use their pitching staff creatively. They actually haven't done that this year. They basically just use their five-man rotation. But the Rays always have depth. They always deploy their guys in the right way to get the most out of their talent. And they're just much less susceptible to one or two injuries blowing the whole thing up. So I really don't have the Yankees as much better than the other two, even though, of course, if you turned injuries off, certainly. But, you know, even Aaron Judge, he hasn't gotten hurt as much recently, but he's got a long injury history himself. If anything were to happen to him, that's a bigger blow than anybody else in the league can possibly withstand. outside of maybe the Dodgers, if they were to lose Shohei Ohtani. So the fragility right. of the Yankees roster compared to the resilience of the other two means I could easily see something going wrong for the Yankees and one of the other two overtaking them.
Yeah, we saw what happened to the Yankees when Judge had issues with his toe two seasons ago. They completely collapsed. And so you can see that fragility is there. But you can also see how good he is also at the same time when he is healthy. One note on the Rays, 53 home games so far, 34 on the road. They're about to embark on this huge road swing that starts tonight. They have 10 games on the road to go into the All-Star break, and obviously a lot more coming up in the second half compared to home games. However, they are 20-14 on the road so far. Also, one fantasy note, free Joe Boyle. Let's get Joe Boyle up to the major somehow here, people. Let's make this happening here. I know a lot of people have been holding on to him on their rosters for a long time. Let's move on. We spent a lot of time on the AL East, the NL East. The Mets get back Kodai Senga tomorrow. He's going to come back off the IL. They really need it there. It used to be a three-team race. It's now a two-team race. Phillies minus 185, Mets plus 155. We're going to throw the Braves on there just for showing the odds sake. Plus 3,500 for the Braves. Season from hell for them.
Yeah, and I think this is definitely a two-team race. And I guess my only question is, should the Phillies really be a clear favorite like they are, or should this be a lot closer to 50-50? The Phillies may have a 1.5 game lead right now. Now, the Phillies have a great starting rotation, maybe the best in the league, and they even have some rotation depth. Well, Mick Abel didn't really work out, but as a sixth starter, that's fine. Aaron Nola due to come back probably soon after the All-Star break, and Andrew Painter should be set for his MLB debut, somebody who was the best pitching prospect in baseball before his Tommy John surgery. This is a team with tons of rotation depth. Zach Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez have all been excellent. Jesus Luzardo, despite a bad performance today, as a number 4 or even 5 guy after Nola comes back. That's really good, and that should hold up in the second half and carry a lineup that's been merely pretty good, I would say. The Mets, though, the rotation, I just don't trust. This is a team where Clay Holmes has probably been the ace, but this is his first year converting from relief to starting. So what would you trust him to do in the second half? Kodai Senga, before he was hurt, pitched like an ace, at least in terms of ERA, but the ERA estimators were pretty skeptical, and he has developing a pretty long injury track record. Sean Manaea, do you trust him to come back and stay back? Frankie Montas, he has come back. Do you trust him to stay back? I don't trust much at all with this Mets rotation. So maybe the Phillies being decent favorites does make sense. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, that's the thing is, I think both teams are going to be willing to buy at the deadline. That might change things up, but what is there to buy? That is the big question. I think the Phillies, they'd be looking to add at the bullpen or maybe a center fielder, maybe Byron Buxton. Can I interest you in a Byron Buxton? I've been trying to pitch that all week here, that the Twins should be thinking, at least have the conversation about trading Byron Buxton. You're getting the absolute best health season you've had in years for him and the production that goes with it. But I don't know if they'll be able to pull that off. I think it's pretty close to a 50-50. I think the Mets will. I think getting Senga back, we'll see what Manaea does. They've had a lot of things go wrong recently, obviously, so that we'll see about that. Let's pivot to the NL Central. Four-team race here, Eric. Cubs have been very good, can't pull away. The Cubs are still minus 250, though. Pretty significant favorite over the Brewers, Cardinals, and Reds. Do you like any of the underdog chances at these odds?
I think with another injury hitting the Cubs rotation, of course, they've been without their ace, Justin Steele, for basically the entire season. He won't be back this year. Jameson Taillon, though, who had been pitching pretty well till his last couple starts, he's going to miss at least a month with a right calf strain. This is already a rotation that had some weak spots in it. Cade Horton, Colin Ray occupying what's now the 3 and 4 spots. Ben Brown pitched his way out of the rotation. Doesn't seem like he's coming back soon. So maybe Jordan Wicks. And do you really trust Matthew Boyd to hold up in the second half? He hasn't pitched this many innings, or he hasn't pitched a full season's worth of innings since, I think it's 2019. He's already pitched more innings than he has in any of the last 5 seasons. So I'm pretty worried about the potential of a rotation collapse here with the Cubs, just as I was somewhat worried about that with the Yankees and the Mets. Love the Cubs lineup, and they've found a few pieces in the bullpen, but I don't know if I would like the odds to be this kind of favorite for a team that has a potential big flaw if they get hit by one more injury in the rotation. A team like the Brewers, who has a similar resiliency to the Rays, where they just have a lot of guys that they can figure out how to put in the best position, I wouldn't mind taking the Brewers as underdogs here, even though if you look at the projections, they're going to say the Cubs should pull away with it.
Yeah, you can get the Brewers at a pretty nice plus 400 price, so I can see that there. I'm striding that the Cubs should be trading. They got to be all in on, if they're not going to extend Kyle Tucker, if this is his walk year, they need to be all in on this. It's kind of like, you know, like Soto last year with the Yankees. You know, what's the point if you're not all in? Why bother trading for him in the first place there? Real quickly, before we talk about the AL West, if you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge, and it's all available now. It went live this week. It's packed with in-depth interviews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts. Nick Whalen's made some pretty cool contributions to that. Player props and betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Lock in our football special for just $175 and get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including every betting guide, daily best bet emails, 24/7 video, and all the data and tools on VSiN.com. The early bird pricing expires on July 31st. So don't wait. Sign up today and get your copy of the NFL season betting guide at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jeff Erickson here with Eric Halterman. We're going to try to at least crank one or two more divisions here. Is the AL West all over? Astros have a 7-game lead, even despite losing yesterday.
Yeah, I think the Astros should win this, although at around minus 450, not amazing odds. And the Mariners are priced decently as an underdog who could go on a run. They've had a surprisingly good offense and their rotation. We all know if they're healthy, they've got a ton of very good starting pitchers there. The Astros, though, they actually are going to get starting pitchers coming back, multiple pretty good arms. Spencer Arrighetti, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia should all be back sometime in the second half. And I think that should help carry them over the line in what was supposed to be a down season, but it seems like they just win this division every year.
Seems like they keep on taking away parts. I hated the Tucker trade. You know, Jordan Alvarez has had setback after setback, and here they are, run prevention doing its thing again for them. Dodgers up 9. My LA friends were all up in arms earlier this season. We're not even winning the division. We're only 1 game up in the division. Well, now they're 9 up. And the Padres and the Giants look like they have big claws. Tigers 12 games up in the Central. All right, Colby Conway is joining us next on the Prop Progressive Guest Line. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Eric Halterman in. It's time to hop on the Progressive Guest Line and bring in our guest for the day. He is Colby Conway from Fantasy Alarm. He's their MLB analyst, does the podcast there as well. Great stuff over there. Colby, welcome to the show. How are you? Happy 4th.
Hey, thank you so much. Happy 4th to you all as well.
So how do you typically spend your 4th of July? What's Colby do on the 4th of July?
Oh, it starts, head over to our CrossFit gym for a morning workout. Just basically makes all the beers and hot dogs and burgers I'll have later. I can basically cancel out. We'll call it a net neutral on the calorie front there, but starts off there with a little workout and then head over to some friend's house, like I said, for some burgers, hot dogs, and beer.
All right. Sounds awesome. I like it there. We have a little parade in our neighborhood. It's pretty cool. We've been in the same neighborhood for 20 years. They go up and down every street in our subdivision. It's a cool little slice of Americana. So is baseball. And I love that we have a Friday, 4th of July. So that means every single team playing. So a lot to bet on there. A lot of plays we can have. Let's start off in Seattle. We got the Red Hot Pirates. I don't think I've said that all season long, maybe in all 2020, since 2020 long. But they've won 6 in a row in dominant fashion. They hit the road now against the Mariners. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, it kind of hurts me to say it, being a Pirates fan, but I'm going Mariners first 5 run line. I don't question Brian Wu at home. 2.08 ERA, yeah. 0.82 whip at home this season. You look last year, sub 2.5 ERA, sub 1 whip at home last season. If you look this year too, 2.13 WOBA against and a 1.59 ERA the first 2 times through the order. I've never been a Bailey Falter guy. He had that impressive May, but the wheels have come off a little bit here. in June with an ERA north of five. And Seattle, as much as I had crapped on that offense through the first month or so in the season, things have definitely turned around for them a little bit. 735 OPS and a 112 WRC plus against lefties. So I am digging since June 1st, I should say. So I do like the Mariners' first five run line. Again, I don't question Brian Wu at home.
You know, and I'm right there with you because one of my plays is Brian Wu to record a win at plus 100. Only six home starts this year. He's been, you know, always had those very positive splits. Of course, T-Mobile, a great place to pitch. But I think he's been even better there this year. So I'm totally on board with this play.
Yep. Can't go wrong with
your next
one of those things too. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say your next game here, we've got the Brewers traveling to Miami to take on the Marlins. Really interesting pitching matchup here. Quinn Priester on the mound for the Marlins. Sorry, for the Brewers, who has a 3.35 ERA. Just not entirely sure how much we trust that as a pitch-to-contact guy. But then Sandy Alcantara on the mound for the Marlins, who looked like he had maybe been starting to put it together after a difficult first couple months coming back from surgery, but then the wheels fell off in his last one. What do you like in this game?
I've wanted to be in on this game so bad. I really like Quinn Priester, especially, you know, the former Pittsburgh great, but it's two guys who had really bad starts of the year. It turned around a little bit, but like you said, Sandy Alcantara, the wheels came off in the last start. And when you look here, Milwaukee's been crushing, especially lefties of late. I know they get a righty today, but still over the past 2 weeks, the team's hitting nearly 300 with a 361 WOBA. Sandy Alcantara does not miss bats anymore. He allows a ton of contact, actually an 84.7% rate there in June. And here's the thing. He allows a lot of contact. The Brewers have a top five batting average on batted balls in play over the last 2 weeks. So you put those things together. I'm digging the Brewers team total over 4.5. And if you want a player prop action, I just think they get to Sandy. So I'd also go over 5.5 hits allowed for Sandy Alcantara.
Do you see Alcantara getting traded at the deadline?
100%.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, the Cubs certainly could use a pitcher. I mean, I've heard them rumored on every possible starting pitcher on the trade market so far. Seth Lugo is another one I think will go there. So we'll see what happens with that. I've got to play in the Blue Jays Angels game. So do you. Let's talk your side first here. What do you like in this Blue Jays Angels game?
Yeah, I hope we're on the same side here, but I'm taking the over 9.5 Angels Blue Jays. Two pitchers I don't believe in. I don't think Eric Lauer is this good. 3.76 ERA as a starter, but the FIP is closer to 5. And his last two starts have come against Boston, who has struggled a little bit of late, and Cleveland, who is one of the worst teams against left-handed pitching this season. And believe it or not, the Angels, as much as they strike out and have had one of the higher strikeout clips for most of the season, they've been great of late, at least posting the fourth best OPS. They're crushing left-handed pitching. So I like the Angels offense going against Eric Lauer. And then on the other side, old man Kyle Hendricks. He's allowing home runs. He's got some reverse splits. That Toronto lineup is right-handed heavy, which doesn't really bode well from him. And then even though he's been half decent against lefties, Toronto does have Addison Barger, and all he does is hit home runs against right-handed pitching. So if you want a little home run play, I'd probably sprinkle a little bit on Addison Barger. But we got two hot offenses. The last series they had, all three games went for 9+. Two of those reached double digits. One ended up at 9. But I don't believe in these pitchers. I love both of these offenses. So I like a fireworks display, not to be too punny here on July 4th in this game.
Yeah, how dare they play in Toronto on the 4th of July? What are they even doing here? But I do like the Lauer over strikeout play here. Just because the Angels, they strike out 28% of the time against left-handers. I still think, even though I share your distrust of Lauer, but you can get over 5.5 Ks at plus 130. The original 4.5 is too prohibitive on the price. So I like the alt line at over 5.5 Ks. I don't think it's necessarily in conflict. Because I think the Angels are one of those three true outcome teams, except it's really two true outcomes, homers and strikeouts. They don't really walk a whole lot, but they do K a lot, especially against lefties.
We could see Lauer go four innings, rack up 6 or 7 strikeouts, but also serve up 3 home runs in this game, and I wouldn't be surprised. And Kyle Hendricks should bail us out on the other side as well. So, yeah, I don't think those two plays prohibit one another, and you're hitting the nail on the head with the Angels. It's going to be a home run. It's going to be a strikeout, and hopefully we get more of the home runs in this one today. For your sake, a couple strikeouts, but let's get some home runs too.
All right. The day is going to end with a rivalry game. Is it still a rivalry game between the San Francisco Giants and the Sacramento Athletics? I think it still is. Potential for a lot of runs in this one at Sacramento's minor league home park. And with Justin Verlander and JP Sears on the mound, I would imagine you're feeling the same way. How would you attack this one tonight?
I'm going Giants first. Five team total over. As much as I kind of just said I don't like Hendricks, I don't like Lauer, I think I dislike Sears even more. Just isn't a good pitcher. He struggled at home this year. The ERA is pushing 7 at home with a 3.34 home run per 9. I know San Fran isn't the most prolific offense by any means, nor are they most potent at the moment. But we get Sutter Health Park, double-digit wins blowing out. July 4th, JP Sears stinks. Last time he played him, he lasted just 4 innings, allowing 4 runs, multiple walks in 4 of his last 5 outings, and he doesn't generate ground balls. So that ball is going to hit that Sacramento jet stream. We're going to see a lot of runs. I was genuinely surprised to see this at 2.5 runs in the first 5 for the Giants, so I'm stoked to get the over 2.5. Last time I looked, it was around minus 110-ish. So Giants first 5, team total over. They're going to chase Sears early.
Do we get our first Justin Verlander Giants win?
It'll be ugly, but I do think he can get through 5 and get the win. I think his offense is going to do enough for him. Verlander, I thought about the over on this one just because Verlander hasn't been amazing either, and the A's are tough in their home park. And again, double-digit wins blowing out. If Verlander's going to live up in the zone, a couple balls could leave the yard. So I think it could be like a 5 1/3 with 4 earned runs for Verlander, but he should outperform Sears. And let's say yes. Let's say Verlander gets the win.
All right, and you get plus 215 price on that Justin Verlander to get a win over the DraftKings Sportsbook. So, yeah, pretty decent price. And, you know, I was talking up a little bit about Wu at plus 100. Well, these are really good odds, and if you feel pretty good about this situation, the bullpen at least will be a little fresher after Robbie Ray's big performance last night. Went complete game there. That was huge for the Giants. They really needed that there. Colby, thank you so much for spending some of your fourth with us. Enjoy the beers. Enjoy the cookout. Enjoy the baseball. Thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate it. Have a good fourth, y'all.
Colby Conway, Fantasy Alarm. Make sure to check out Fantasy Alarm. Check out his work there. His great podcast. Just did one with Howard Bender, a good friend of ours. Former RotoWire alum. So we always like Howard. Like Colby, like his work there. Do you need a proxy to join like Circa Millions or the Circa Survivor contest? You can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. It's trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons. Winner's Circle Proxy helped clients win over $9.3 million the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. I'll be doing that in the near future. We're doing the Radio Row thing in about a month where and I'll be jumping in on Circuit Survivor again. Not going to pick the Bengals in week 1 again. That's shame on me. Shame, shame, shame. But anyways, there. Updates on scores. We got 7-4 now in this Reds-Phillies game. They are in the top of the fourth inning, flying along as you'd expect. Cubs up to a quick 2-0 lead on the Cardinals. In that game, we got Seiya Suzuki and PCA with home runs again. So nice performance. Good start towards that over, hopefully, as far as we go there. Coming up next, it's Eric Holtzman's Lock 'em In Picks of the Day for 4th of July. Coming up on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Eric Halterman. Reds update still 7-4. I got 2 runners on in the top of the 5th. Cubs are now up 4-0 on the Cardinals, and if I keep talking, they'll probably hit 2 more home runs. 4 solo homers so far against Miles Michaelis. Carson Kelly and Michael Bush joining the party, going along with Seiya Suzuki and Pete Crow Armstrong in the first inning. That one's in the bottom of the second, 4-0 in that one there. Eric, it's a full slate of games here on the 4th of July. You've got some plays with us. Let's talk about the Subway Series. Both teams slumping right now, Eric. What do you got in this game?
Yeah, I'm going to take the over in this one, which is set pretty high at 9.5, but I don't think it's set high enough with Marcus Stroman and Justin Hagenman on the mound for the Yankees and Mets. If you want to say that you should side with the under, I guess you could point to the fact that neither lineup has been great in the last month. The Mets are 10th by Team WRC+, the Yankees 12th. But I think both units you would expect to do better than that from here on out, and starting today, almost certainly. Stroman, in four starts this year, has more walks than strikeouts and an ERA north of 8, whereas Hagenman, he's a 28-year-old rookie who had an ERA north of 6 at the AAA level. This is one of the weakest pitching matchups you're going to see all year, I could say, especially from two teams that are this good. I would expect the lineups to have quite an easy time today. I think we could probably get more runs here than we'll get in the Coors Field game between the White Sox and Rockies.
Ooh, I like that. Bold statement. I like it. Adding to that, too, is the Yankees bullpen is just washed right now. I mean, Fernando Cruz is on the IL. They had to throw 5 innings yesterday against the Jays. And obviously, the third game, that 11-9 game, they had to cover a lot of innings as well. They're really stretched pretty thin. Devin Williams got the loss 2 days ago, so even he is struggling a little bit as well. So yeah, I'm totally on board with this over here. Let's move on to the next game on the slate, for at least your slate. Rays and Twins. We talked about the Rays earlier. They're beginning this epic road trip. Zach Littell versus Chris Paddock. You like a money line in this one here. What do you like?
Yeah, I'd like the Rays money line in this one, and I also think I might like Zach Littell to pick up a win. I think this one is just mispriced with the Twins being marked as slight favorites. I don't really see why that would be the case other than, I guess, home field advantage. If you look at the lineups the last 30 days, the Rays have the best in baseball, a 129 WRC+. The Twins sitting all the way down at 21st at a 96 WRC+ over that month. So a big advantage in the recent offensive performance for Tampa. Then if you look on the mound, Tampa's got the advantage there as well. Both Zach Littell and Chris Paddock are pitch-to-contact guys. Both have a strikeout rate right around 17%. But Littell combines that with an elite 3% walk rate. And that's helped him to a 3.61 ERA on the year. That's more than a run better than Paddock's. The ERA estimators say Littell's maybe more like half a run better than Paddock. But he's also been on a good run lately at 2.78 ERA, his last 7 starts. Meanwhile, Paddock had a stretch where he looked like he might be interesting in a Zach Littell sort of way, but then his last 4 starts, a 9.16 ERA. I don't understand why the Rays aren't bigger favorites in this one.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, it's interesting, and probably just because the home road thing would be my guess. I think that has to be it, but we'll see about that one there. So we talked Joe Boyle briefly before we move on to the next game. Are you stashing Boyle anywhere there? And if you are, like, which a Rays rotation guy would have to move out of the rotation to make room for him?
Yeah, that would be the question. I mean, anybody who gets hurt, Joe Boyle is very much ready to go. The way he's been pitching in the minors, I think he is one of the best stashes. He's got a 1.85 ERA in 15 outings. A 33% strikeout rate, walk rate of about 10.5%, which would be bad for most pitchers, but great for Joe Boyle. It could be Taj Bradley if he has a bad run. It could be, though, I think maybe a 6-man rotation. Drew Rasmussen in particular, somebody who I'm shocked has been able to throw this many innings so far. This is coming off of what is 3rd career serious elbow surgery. He's already at 87 1/3 innings, the second highest total of his career. He had just 28 2/3 of the majors last year, 44 2/3 the year before that. They're starting to shrink Rasmussen's outings, so I wonder if it's a Rasmussen opener for Joe Boyle situation or something like that. They got to get up Boyle sooner or later. He's been pitching too well not to use him.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, other teams would kill to have a situation like that, but not the Rays. They're deep, and then they've stayed healthy. I think that's the real big takeaway, and they don't always stay healthy, so that's been good for them. Rangers, Padres, Kumar Rocker versus Randy Vasquez. Got another money line pick here, Eric.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rangers as slight underdogs, even though their pitcher's ERA starts with a 6 and the Padres pitcher's ERA starts with a 3. Kumar Rocker, 6.13 ERA on the season, but a 3.85 Sierra. Strikeouts are a little bit below league average, but he's actually shown a decent control as well with a 7% walk rate. And more importantly, he's on a much better run recently after getting recalled. His last three starts, Kumar Rocker has a 2.20 ERA. Randy Vasquez on the other side just looks like as much smoke and mirrors as you're going to see from any pitcher. A 3.84 ERA, but a 5.59 Sierra. An 11% walk rate is bad. You can get by if you're striking out 29, 30% of batters alongside that mark, but he's only striking out 13%. I don't understand how Randy Vasquez is still in a big league rotation, and I don't think that I would take the Padres here, especially with their lineup really struggling in the last month. They're down to 25th in WRC plus over the last 30 days.
Yeah, really, really slumping. You know, had a good win on their getaway game in Philly, but other than that, they were struggling to score runs on that whole trip. Got beat in series by the Phillies, by the Reds on that road trip. At least they're home in San Diego. That helps. They're much better at Petco than they are on the road. Royals Diamondbacks, Chris Bubich versus Eduardo Rodriguez. You like another money line bet here. This is money line holiday here for you here. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I like the Diamondbacks side of this game, which might come as a surprise because I've really liked Chris Bubich all year. And man, anybody who took him as a fantasy sleeper has loved what they've gotten from him so far. A 2.25 ERA on the year. Looks like all that hype about him adding the sweeper right before he got injured, had Tommy John surgery a couple years ago, and then came back and looked pretty good out of the pen. Looks like that was all for real. The problem is, he's already up to 96 innings this year. He totaled just 66 last year between his rehab assignment and his brief time in relief in the majors. And I think we're starting to see that. A 5.23 ERA over the last four outings for Chris Bubich. And, you know, jumping back to the fantasy for just a second, I would imagine he's a pretty clear sell high because I don't think they're going to give him a particularly heavy workload in the second half, especially if the Royals fall out of the race. Eduardo Rodriguez on the other side does have a 5.13 ERA on the season, but the ERA estimator is much better. His Sierra 3.86, thanks to a slightly above average strikeout rate combined with an average walk rate. He's been much better over his last five starts, just a 1.98 ERA. Diamondbacks have also hit much better than the Royals over the last month. The Royals third worst in team WRC plus over that stretch. So even though Chris Bubich was a great fantasy sleeper, and I would commend anybody who drafted him, keep an eye on his recent performances. I'm not quite sure he's that guy anymore, which means I would take the Diamondbacks in this one.
All right. 20 seconds for your play in the Astros Dodgers game.
Yeah, I think Astros as pretty big underdogs are actually kind of interesting here. Lance McCullers, don't totally know what we're going to get. He hasn't had a good ERA, but he does still have his strikeout stuff. And then Ben Kasparius, been interesting, but since he's been stretching out to convert to starting, a 7.13 ERA and just a 12% strikeout rate over his last five outings. So if you can get the Astros as pretty big underdogs, I'm intrigued.
All right. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive the $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. It's time for our GBank best bet. Eric, what's your best bet of the day?
I think I'm going to go back to that Royals money line I mentioned earlier in this segment. I think the Rays have been much better than the Twins at the plate in the last month. Rays the best team in baseball by WRC Plus in that stretch. Twins bottom 10. And Zach Littell, while he's similar to Chris Paddock, he's the good version. So I would trust him and the Rays to win this one.
All right. My best bet's going to be Brian Wu to record a win, plus 100, in that Mariners home game against the streaking Pirates. Pirates 12-29 on the road this year. That's going to wrap it up for us on Prop Points. Coming up next, Make It Rain. Make sure to lock it in and beast it all day. Happy 4th, Tom Burns, host. Make It Rain.